welcome to Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church. Let us prepare our hearts to worship the Lord. Let us begin by singing, "The Lord is in His Holy Temple." Worship is taken from Psalms 145, verse 1. David's Psalm of Praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Let us arise to sing the opening hymn. Hymn is number 25, "The Lord is King." In heaven, how glorious thou art, thou King of kings and Lord of lords. It is thou who art the maker, the sustainer of our lives. is thou who art the Redeemer of us. Thou hast bought us with the blood of thy only begotten Son. Thou hast given us life beyond measure. Not that we seek a continuing city here, but we seek one to come, thy kingdom, O Lord. Set our hearts, our affections on things above, not on things on this earth. Make us to say as Moses to be with affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, which are for a season. So give us humble hearts now, we pray, and cause our eyes to look steadfast, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. Help us to look, O Lord, at thee. So give us hearts now to consider thee in thy word. Send thy spirit forth with power into our hearts, that thy truth might be glorious within our souls, that we might taste that thou art good, that the food from thy word might nourish our souls, that we might have strength from this day on and for forevermore to glorify thee in all that we do. We pray that thou mayest bless the lips of pastor, that he might bring forth thy word with power, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the Spirit, with truth, with love, with joy in the Holy Ghost. So help us now, O Lord. Keep us focused upon thee, and to delight ourselves in thee this day of the resurrection. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ, who while on earth taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture text for today is taken from Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42, verses 22 to 38. We'll be reading to the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 42, verse 22. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them, and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And the heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father, one is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And Reuben said unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. Last verse in unison. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which he go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Amen. Thank God for the reading of his holy, infallible word. In response, let us now sing the hymn Holy Ghost with Light Divine, number 241. Thank you. Let's now look at the order of worship. The memory verse for today is taken from Exodus chapter 23, verse 7. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. Exodus 23, verse 7. Let us read this together. Exodus chapter 23, verse 7. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. Exodus 23, verse 7. Let us take some time to meditate and ponder, memorize this verse. Exodus chapter 23, verse 7. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. Exodus chapter 23, verse 7. Let us keep this verse in our hearts as we listen to the message later. Let us now present our tithe and offering. The offertory hymn is 548, Sweet By and By. us now arise for the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Thank thee that thou hast given unto us grateful and thankful hearts, that we might return, O Lord, something of what thou hast given us. How glorious blessedness we have received, that we do not look for a city on this earth, but we look for one which has foundations, which builder and maker is God. So as we look to such a city, O Lord, may our affections and hearts be drawn to it, that we might go out of this the city of Jerusalem to the place of Golgotha and see our Savior crucified for us. And there may we taste the sweetness of salvation. And from seeing the price that has been paid for us, may we go forth into all the world to tell others of this new glorious way of salvation. This way of salvation, not by any merits of our own, but only through the merits, righteousness of our blessed Savior. So we pray that thou mayest use these offerings for the extension of thy kingdom, for the glory of thy name, even in these last days. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. The hymn before the pastoral prayer and the message: 'Tis the blessed hour of prayer, 364. Thank you. Amen. Let us now invite Pastor to give us the lead us in the pastoral prayer and the message, the law of the conscience, part 2.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we can be shut up in the quiet of this sanctuary to worship Thee. We ask that Thou would grant to us a heart that is well attuned, focused upon Thee, that we may be persuaded by the Spirit of God concerning Thy good will in this hour of prayer. Strengthen Thy people as we look to Thee. We thank Thee that Thou hast raised this gathering of Thy people to obey the Great Commission, to share the gospel, to be evangelistic, to be church planting, to be teaching the whole counsel of God, and to be multiplying, making disciples for Thee. O Lord, strengthen us as we seek to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power that Christ Himself has promised, that Thou would go with us. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Father, we come with the promise of Thy glorious divine presence with Thy people as we seek Thee in humble prayer. Father, we commit to Thee those of our brethren who are in beds of affliction. O God, Thou knowest each one of them by name, and we pray that Thou be gracious to comfort, strengthen, help Thy people. We pray for Jennifer, who is preparing for the endoscopy and a colonoscopy tomorrow. Thou be gracious to strengthen her, to prepare her, and may Thou be gracious to heal her for Thy own mercy's sake. Father in heaven, we also pray and ask that Thou be merciful to my uncle Thomas. Thou help him to have a managed kidney condition through dialysis treatment and his recovery from the stroke. Most of all, we pray for his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we pray and commit to Thee Natalie, Lena's daughter, having that Thou would grant to her a smooth pregnancy and the delivery that is due in September. May Thou strengthen her and the unborn baby. Lord, we also pray and commit to Thee Janelle and Ern Yang, going through the preparations, prelim exams for the O levels. May thou strengthen them and bless them with thy comfort, bless them with thy wisdom and thy spirit's unction, that they may be able to answer the questions correctly, finding favor with the examiner for thy own honor and glory. Father, we commit to thee also the upcoming gospel rally on the 5th of September. May thou be gracious to bless this time for thy own honor and glory. As the gospel is being proclaimed, may thou be gracious to save souls. We also pray for the family retreat from the 22nd to the 23rd of December. We continue to look to thee and for thy guidance. May thou be gracious to instruct us. Father in heaven, we pray that thou would bless us with understanding as we open thy sacred word. May thy spirit come and illumine us and teach us. Give us understanding out of thy holy word. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Law of the Conscience, Part 2, taken from Genesis chapter 42 and verses 22 to 38. We left our first thought last week, anguish of the guilty conscience. As we look in verse 22 of our text, concerning the brothers of Joseph who did some wrong 22 years ago, and their conscience did not give them peace. And God seemed, by the events that are happening, are awakening them to a realization of the wrong that they had done many years ago. And the events that will take place involves them traveling the route in which Joseph took when he was carried as a slave, sold from Egypt, from Canaan, all the way to Egypt. They had to traverse this wilderness journey, this difficult terrain, wilderness, desert place, and that back and forth travel aroused their conscience to an event that took place many years ago. It could have erased in the memory of any person if there is no awakening of God bringing to remembrance the event. Many things happen in life, and many things we just simply forget. But there are some things that we cannot forget, especially those things where we are plagued with the anguish of a guilty conscience. And this is the thought that we would like to meditate upon: the anguish of a guilty conscience. Verse 22 of our text says, "And Reuben answered them, saying, Speak I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, or ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also blood is required." Here was a soft whisper, as it were, among the 10 brothers who were there in the sight of Joseph, well, thinking that he could not understand what went on in the conversation. But here, God is arousing their conscience. The thought says, the word says from Reuben, do not, did I not say, sin not against the child? And ye would not hear. When we go about doing wrong, we said sometimes we are rash, sometimes we are hasty, sometimes we are imprudent, but wrong we did. So here it says, therefore behold, his blood is required. His blood is required. There is a payback, in other words. God's warning to men is that the murderer will be dealt with with blood for blood. And we must take heed. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 5 to 6. Why is it that God is awakening their conscience to remember these events that took place 22 years ago? It could have been easily forgotten already. We said, our memories are very short. Right? As you grow older, there are many things you forget. But why is it that this incident cannot be forgotten? Genesis 9 verse 5 to 6 says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of men, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of men. Whoso sheddeth men's blood, by men shall his blood be shed. Whoso sheddeth men's blood, by men shall his blood be shed. Here is the law of capital punishment. That a man who takes a life innocently, an innocent life, he has to pay for it with his own life. Well, this is the law of our land today. And we thank the Lord that there is a life for a life. Why? Because the Word of God says, in the image of God made He man. In other words, man is precious in the sight of God. Each one is made to reflect, to bear the imprint of the Godhead, the image of God in us, that makes us different, special. Not the animals, not the angels, but only man is made in the image of God. And so here the Lord says, whosoever shed a man's blood, by man's blood shall his blood be shed. And so the conscience of Joseph's brothers is certainly awakened, we said, with this revealing words of chapter of verse 22, uttered by Reuben. And here we would like to think that Reuben has thought that harm had came upon Joseph, that Joseph did not survive the journey to Egypt, and he surmised that Joseph had died, and that he feels guilty for their malicious act many years ago. How does the Christian remove or have a clean, clear conscience? In the Lord's Prayer, the Lord taught us In Matthew 6 verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here is given to us the call to forgive the wrong that is done upon us by others, because God has forgiven us. And this seemed to be the emphasis in the Lord's Prayer, because right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer was this call for men to find forgiveness in his own heart. And it's repeated again at the end of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 verse 14 and 15. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Sins that are not forgiven bring torment to the guilty conscience. And the guilt, the consequences of our actions will continue to haunt us when we know that it was a wrong that was done. And so there is a need to seek for pardon, and that is the action verb to forgive. And that is the word that is used in Matthew 6 verse 14. In the imperative and urgent petition to God to pardon our obligations owed to Him. And that we are to continually forgive others. And that's in the present continuous tense in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 6. And do you know that forgiveness begins not with us, but forgiveness begins with God. If God had not forgiven us, we are still in our sins. But if God had not forgiven us, and we are therefore waiting for the fearful wrath and judgment of God, this is a frightening thing. But if God has forgiven us because He has been merciful to us, then here the Lord says that we are no longer in enmity with God, and we too should have that strength and the grace to forgive others. And so here we see the Lord working in the heart of Joseph, in the heart of the 10 brothers, and God is working out a work of sanctification in the hearts of these brothers. For God is arousing their conscience to the truth of their misdeeds. And so verse 21 of our text, if you just go a verse back, which we ended last week, it says here, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And here the emphasis is on the word distress. Why is it that this calamity has come upon them? Why is it that they are able to pinpoint that their distress is attributed to the evil that they did many years ago? Here you see, the Lord brings us to understand a very simple truth of everyday life. The truth of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6 verse 7, God is not mocked. We reap what we sow. You sow a good seed, you reap a good fruit. but you sow an evil, a bad seed, well, you reap an evil end. So here the Lord is speaking to us that we are to keep ourselves pure in the way of our handling of the affairs of life. And our memory verse in Exodus 23 verse 7 is important. Keep thee far from a false matter. And the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. So there was a brother that said, you know, I'm going for a beating, and I've been given information how to beat. So all I have to do is to beat this amount, which is slightly better than all the other competition information that he has gotten. And he said, my conscience will not allow me to do such a thing. And he said, in my workplace, you know, as I sit on my chair as a general manager of the company, I have a Bible verse in front of me. On the left side, on the right side, behind me, to remind me, I don't want to go to jail for a wrong thing. That would be too great a price, a travesty against God. And therefore, well, he said, I have to resign in order that I would not be partaker of the evil. Exodus 23 verse 7, keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not. Here we have a bloodbath among brothers. And here we also see that this is not just a feud between persons, but there is a God in heaven who looks down at what is going on and what is happening amongst men, women that are made in the image of God. In other words, the omniscient God, the all-knowing God, is well aware of the things that are going on earth. And the travesty of his law, of his justice, will be dealt with. And the Lord tells us that God himself will hold us accountable. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. It says here, Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, God sees, and God is very angry with the wicked. And the relationship between God and the sinner is one of enmity. In other words, God hates sin. And he deals with us after our sins.
And God is also holy and righteous. Therefore, His justice must be satisfied by the violation of every of His law. And the penalty of our sin. What is the penalty for sin? The penalty of sin is eternal damnation. And that is the sorry state of fallen man. That's why you see God shows us just within one family, just between brothers, you see all these things happen. How sad it is. So the Bible tells us God does justify the ungodly. How does God justify the ungodly? Romans 4 verse 5. Would you turn there? Romans 4 verse 5. It says here, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In other words, how can God grant forgiveness without compromising His own standard of justice? How can you be forgiven for the wrong that you have done? That you deserve the punishment? The answer is that God Himself made His Son, Jesus Christ, the atonement of our sins. And God does justify and forgive sinners, not because of anything that we have done, but that was His way by which our sins can be forgiven, that wrong things can be made right in Jesus Christ, that we would escape the wrath of God. Because we have been forgiven fully by Christ, therefore He has also given us this work of reconciliation, to share the good news that there is forgiveness of sins with God to the people around us. So that they would not go on living with a guilty conscience. That sin can be dealt with. That sin can be appeased by God because of Christ. God's vengeance for sin is fully atoned for by His Son and satisfied by His justice. And sinners can be reconciled to God. That sins can be forgiven through Christ. That is why when Christ was on the cross, He cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was there on the cross that mercy and truth are met together. That righteousness and peace have come. Psalm 85 verse 10. And that forgiveness reflects the person of God. Forgiveness reflects the character of God. All Christians are forgiven of their unpayable debt. This gift of free forgiveness, for no merits of our own, that God gives us. Well, this was where God is leading the brothers of Joseph. To the point of confession, to the point of awakening, to the point of repentance. And that's how the Holy Spirit works, you see. That's how the Holy Spirit brings itself to do that work of sanctification.
God working in the hearts of His people to bring them to the point of confession and repentance. And here you see how interesting it is that God would bring the 12, the brothers, to a point of, to a point of awakened conscience to their misdeeds many years ago. Our text tells us in verse 23 that they knew not that Joseph understood them, and he turned himself from them. Joseph, when he heard the brothers' confession before him, well, he could not hold it anymore. The afflictions of the past and the relief of the present, the loneliness that he has experienced all these years, being away from his family for so long, and the hope of reconciliation with his brothers, sees him and seeing the brothers' heart change, that there's a sign of remorse in their hearts, causes the tears from his eyes to flow down. So that's why in verse 24 he had to excuse himself. He turned himself, he could not hold on anymore. You see, he was stranded, as it were, imprisoned. If you think about all the heartaches of misgivings a man has to suffer, he has suffered it. And to think that God is working out something to vindicate him, to make things right, and is appearing before him, wow, he must have realized that God is so real. He was not just the God who gave the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream to him that shot him all the way to become the governor of the land, but that God has brought his brothers before him, confessing of their guilt, of what they had done. Wow. He said, you know, how could it be? Except God is real. Except God is just. Except God cares for the injustice that we suffer in our lives. God cares for the injustice that we suffer in our lives. So that is why Joseph could not resist it anymore. He wept and returned unto them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. So what did he do? He took brother number two. Reuben is the eldest. Simeon is second. But why did he take Simeon and imprison him? Simeon is going to be kept in the prison. He will be there for some time to come. Turn with me to Genesis 49. Genesis 49 and verse 5. Genesis 49 and verse 5. It says here,
Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. That's what Jacob says. This was his last words concerning the children. He says, Simeon and Levi, they are instruments of cruelty. They were wicked. They have done wrong. God knows. And so Joseph understood too. And that is why Simeon is singled out there, that he is going to spend a little time in prison. He's going to have to spend a little time to be incarcerated. Ah, here you see what God is doing. And they said one to another, for the anguish of our soul, this distress has come upon us. And so in verse 24, the Lord will cause Joseph to imprison Simeon. And then Joseph commanded to fill their sack with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. So God is slowly working out to awaken the conscience of the brothers. And God is using Joseph so that the brothers would have a taste of oppressive power. Then Joseph commanded, verse 25, them to fill the sack with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack. And Joseph gave his brothers a generous portion of money. Why did he do that? Because there was no hatred in his heart. His heart was filled with love for his brethren. You see, you recall we talk about the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we have been forgiven by God, then God will also give us the grace to forgive the wrong that is done unto us. So that although Joseph has suffered so much, he would not take things into his own hands for any evil, because God has dealt with him, that he has received true forgiveness in his own heart, and he has understood the measure of return that ought to be meted out. And so they laded their asses with corn and departed. And when they opened their sack, they realized that, hey, the money is inside. The money is restored, verse 38 tells us. It is in these moments of anguish that they began to think about God. Verse 28, and he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? What is it that God hath done unto us? It is in these moments that they realize that God is doing something. They had been a law to themselves, and it was a time of awakening. Be it just a little statement that we see here, what is this that God had done unto us? So we can see, as we read our text,
the unfolding events to the hands of God, working a sanctifying work in the hearts of God's covenant people. For Joseph, for the brothers, God was fulfilling His plan of redemption and doing the work of sanctification in their lives. In other words, God is working out to clean our hearts, clean our lives, because we belong to Him. Therefore, it is in His good will that our lives will be made pure, make good, make right in His sight. And therefore He allows these events, these things to come into our lives so that we would appreciate Him even more. That He's doing something to make our lives beautiful, make our lives good. And this was what God was doing for the brothers of Joseph. Anguish of guilty conscience and God's good will fulfilled. And this is what the Lord wants us to see, how His good will is fulfilled as the conscience of the brothers are being awakened. And so they came to the father and told him everything. And explained to the father what has happened. Of course, the father was so grieved. Verse 36 of our text says, "Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." And so here we see God working out in the heart of Jacob the father, so that God will finally bring him to be reconciled with his son, with all his sons. But before that, you see God unearthing all the twists, untying all the knots, as it were. You know, we said a dead knot is difficult to untie, right? A dead knot. Human relationships. But you see that we have a God who has that power to untie it. By His power, by His wisdom. And this was what God was doing, to work all things good and right for His people, to work out a process by which we would be made pure, made holy, drawn closer to God. May the Lord help us to see and help us to understand this work of the law of the conscience in our hearts, especially when we read the Word of God. When we pray and we read the Word of God, God will bring the Word to sometimes put pincer pressure on our conscience, so that we realize where we have gone wrong, that we will be willing to repent and make right. May the Lord be merciful to help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit and cleanse us by the blood of Jesus Christ. For Thy own mercy's sake, this I ask and pray with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The closing hymn is 315, "Let Us Arise," 315, "Walk in the Light." But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Seated. The Lord bless you and keep you. Service is now over.